B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
It all comes down to this.
An AFC East title for the taking for the Pats. A fourth and goal from the 15 for the Bills. Three receivers right, one left. Singletary to the left of Allen from the near hash mark. Takes the snap. A blitzer coming. Allen backs up. He throws off the back foot. High toward the end zone. Jackson is there with Beasley. Yeah,
knocked away, incomplete. Defense. What a defensive stand right there.
Allen winds up at the 35-yard line. Hitting the deck for the Bills. And the Patriots celebrating you with blitz. 105 on the clock.
Yes, sir. It's a good feeling here today. You know, good to see the fruits of a lot of labor, a lot of hard work. I thought the guys really competed this week, and give the players credit. There's a lot of guys with a lot of mental toughness in that locker room, and they showed it today.
Hour number three, Felger and Maz. Mike's out today. Murray's alongside. Did you hear it, Sosie?
Yeah, got a little growl going. I like growl, Sosie.
Seriously, it is. It's awesome. It was like that. What was the game last year where the pass went off of someone's hands?
Oh.
You remember? And Sosie was like, I don't know, off his hands.
Through his hands.
Yeah. Sosie was all kinds of pissed off.
I feel like that might have been now a couple of seasons ago.
He is a fiery little fella, isn't he? Our little leprechaun play-by-play man, Bob
Sosie.
Isn't
that how people typically describe you? A fiery little fella?
But, you know, play-by-play guys, Marshall, right? I mean, they're all calm. They're sort of poised. They have great command of the language.
He's got it simmering beneath.
Yeah, they're all polished. You know, so see, underneath there is a little fiery little fella.
Still waters run deep.
There is. But I'll tell you what, just quickly, I know Murray has his DN Van Lines move of the day.
Yeah, so this is typically where Felger would give you the DN Van Lines move around the league. If you just missed it at the top of the hour, headlines with Marshall Hook. The Baltimore Ravens announced they're not going to be playing Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, Earl Thomas, Marshall Yanda, and Brandon Williams against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Steelers still fighting for a playoff spot at the sixth seed in the AFC, but they're resting up for the divisional round, and that's what the Patriots should be doing next week against the Miami Dolphins, but they can't because they ended up losing that game to the Kansas City Chiefs a few weeks back. Chiefs beat the Bears last night. So Belichick was right in saying after this game on Saturday night, they do have to actually treat this week like a playoff week because they lose this game. And they won't because it's the Dolphins, but they'll probably get a game because they get something to play for in terms of spite to the Dolphins. They do have to treat it like a playoff week because the bye is incredibly important for this team if they're going to make a deep run.
Oh, no question, right? They need that bye, absolutely. And, I mean, if they had caught a break, it would have been even better to have the 2 weeks off. Although I'll tell you, selfishly, Murray, I don't mind having to see them play again against Miami, and I mean play a legit game, because I want to see whether the offense can repeat it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's one of the real big questions now that comes out. What we saw on Saturday, you know, was it a turnaround, or was it a one-off? But anyway.
And for sure, this is, again, this is brought to you by DN Van Lines. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need. When you call Felger's Mover, DN Van Lines.
I rudely interrupted you there, Murray.
Not at all.
I was going to just yap on and never let you get back to it. How do you like that? Not that that's beyond my capabilities. Good God, stop flapping your gums already, Tony. Holy crap. Geez, 617-779-0985. We'll be largely caller-driven here in the last couple of hours on, you know, Christmas Eve, if you will. Let me just ask you quickly, Murray, because I wanted to get to this, too. I told you, to me, there were some real big-picture questions that are worth asking from this game. Okay, you know, the first of which, as I said, is have they just flipped the switch again, the Patriots offense, or the Patriots in general? Is that what this is? Just like last year, have they flipped a switch, or was this a one-off thing? And then again, as it pertains to their offense, I look at it and say, have they hit their ceiling? Was that game their ceiling? Is that the best? Given what we've seen all year, is that the best that this team can do? And I'm really talking about the overall performance more than I am the points that they put up on the board. Because I think they can do a little bit better than 24. But if you're looking for 30-plus, I don't think you're going to get that. So the question is, can they get to like 27, 28, and is that enough to beat a team like Baltimore or Kansas City? Okay, with their defense, the way they're built, I don't think this is a team that's going to get 34, 35 points. Just my two cents. And then this one's a little bit more of a long-term question, but based on what you saw Saturday, and I wanted to ask you this, Murray, is Buffalo for real? Are the Bills now a factor in the division?
Not with that quarterback, no. No, they're good, and they may even pull up an upset in their playoff game, but no, not with that quarterback, because Josh Allen, he's too inaccurate. He's too inaccurate. He's got balls. He's got a strong arm. Tough, the mobility thing, you know, that's a factor, but he can't. I mean, he missed the tight end, Dawson Knox, on bookend drives to open the game. He missed him. Should have been seven. And the last drive that they had, he had an opportunity, and he missed him again just by, like, that much. He can't make, you know, those passes that you see, like, good to great quarterbacks in the league make. He can't do it. He doesn't have it.
Marshall?
I mean, they're real, like so many other AFC teams that make the playoffs but have no legitimate chance of a title are real. Are they real in the division? I don't know. Is Tom Brady your quarterback next year? Because if he's not, then yeah, they're real in the division.
Okay, so I think the Bills are real. I do. And I was more impressed with Allen in this game than you were, Murray. I'm not telling you he was great. But I think he avoided big mistakes. He's not a precision passer. And of the balls he missed, I'll tell you, the one that irritated me the most, if you remember, there was a third down pass. I want to say it was in the second quarter, where Cole Beasley was running left to right, and it was like a 10-yard pass. Allen must have missed him by 7 or 8 feet. I mean, he missed him by a mile. And I thought, that's the one you got to get.
Those are the throws he can't make, Maz.
I know.
And I think that's a thing that you either have or you don't. Like he just doesn't have it.
Okay, so but then there was another one he threw to Beasley on the sideline late that I thought, oh, man, that's a good play. Like, Beasley made a good catch. Allen made a good throw. You know, the pass to Knox that took it down to a half-yard line there at the end of the half was a good throw.
They could throw a bomb, yeah.
So you're right. He doesn't have a lot of touch. I mean, so the question is, can he learn it? I thought he played way better than he did in the first game. Okay? And if he can learn to protect the football, even if he's not a 65% completion passer, right? If he doesn't complete passes at that rate. What I saw yesterday was I thought, pretty competitive. I mean, and the fourth down play where he lunged and got the first down.
Tough. Just yeah. Again, that kind of thing, I'll give him credit. In a lot of ways, he reminds me of a young, inaccurate Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's a big, tough dude. He'll fight for yardage, you know, the mobility factor. But I just don't think he's very good when it comes to passing at all.
I mean, as you said, some balls there, right?
Yeah.
Like, he does. He has some balls.
But how many real good quarterbacks are even left anymore or on the rise? I mean, it may be within a year or two, you don't need to be all that much better than him to be a legitimate team in this.
If you got a defense like theirs, yeah. I mean, you might be right. He's certainly better than Mitch Trubisky, if you watched last night. Holy Jesus, has he gone the other way? Even the little bit that he had last year, even that's gone the other way. So I'd take him over him.
Look, I don't know what the Bills can be in the long run. He's probably not good enough to get him anywhere. But, you know, could they be kind of what the Jets were with Sanchez at quarterback? Can they be that? I mean, and again, that Jets team went to an AFC championship game. So I just think it's a team now that they play you tough. You went up there, it was 16-10. You played them at home, it was 24-17, and they're knocking on the door to tie the game at the end in Foxborough.
And as much as I give credit to Sean McDermott for this coaching job he's done with that team, he's a red ass, and that team runs hot. They ran hot Saturday night. They did earlier in the season. That Tre'Davious White thing going back between him and N'Keal Harry in this game early, like, the refs, I mean, it's been a bad year for the refs overall, no matter what game you're watching, but there was a chance there. I felt like they're going to lose control of this game because they let those two go back and forth, back and forth. And Tre'Davious White pushed one of the, pushed, I think, the side judge or something, too, and they don't throw a flag on that.
Did you have a problem with the officiating at all in this game? Was it all a factor in your mind?
No, I didn't. No, but I thought it was going to be early.
I'll tell you what, I'm okay with the officiating in the game, and I didn't even think of it until you brought it up. I thought the officiating in this game was let them play. Yeah, they let these guys play, and the Patriots controlled the game. And, you know, again, the only two real mistakes to me that the Patriots made were those offensive PIs in terms of penalties. Paul's in Canton on Brady. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Maz. How you doing? I got a little bit ticked last night. I was watching an NFL Network, and they put Tom Brady as the second greatest quarterback of all time. Last time I checked, 6 takeaway 4s, 2 more Super Bowls in Montana. And I'd like you to wish my mother a happy 80th birthday. Her name's Diana. Take care, buddy.
Okay, well, happy birthday to Diana. We don't typically do that, but it's Christmas. So
I don't think it's an order thing.
You don't call people idiots, and you're going to wish Diana a happy birthday. I love being here.
I know it's unusual, isn't it, Marshall?
They're doing the top 100 at each position. I don't think it's Montana's one, Brady's two. They're just announcing them in a certain order.
I haven't seen any of those shows. I'll take your word for it, Murray. And again, you know how I feel about Montana. I just think Brady passed him a couple of years ago. Joe's in Pittsfield. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, guys, I'm calling to say I don't think the Patriots are turning a switch on here. I think they got to use the younger guys and keep their offensive play calling where these guys can help the team make plays. I think they need these guys if they're going to go anywhere and get further. They got to keep using them and everything. And that's what I think will happen. And guys, have a happy holiday.
You too, Joe.
So, look, I said this earlier. Again, it's hard not to look at that game plan. And I give McDaniels credit for this, too. And the execution of the game plan and not feel, not reach the point where you look at the Patriots and say, well, it's about effing time. As much as they have been limited by the personnel, and again, you're talking about a young guy in Myers, a young guy in Harry, a guy in Sanu that jumped in midstream. The personnel that they have did not equate to the performance on the field or vice versa. It shouldn't have been that bad. Even if you take the young guys out of it and you say you have Edelman, you have Sanu, you have Watson, that's three veteran pass catchers right there. And I'm not telling you any – Edelman's obviously terrific. And I'm not telling you any of those guys are Hall of Famers other than maybe Edelman. But I look at that and say, you shouldn't have the communication issues you've had. And then out of the backfield, you have Burkhead and White. That's five guys you should be able to work with. Five. So, again, are you going to be the 07 offense, or at least for the majority of the year? No. But you shouldn't be scoring 17 points and looking completely inept out there. And again, when you look at it in this game, just the way they spread the ball around. Edelman, six targets. Burkhead, four. White, five. Myers, three. Sanu, five. Watson, three. Harry, three. Lacoste had one. That was the touchdown. And Sony Michel was two. So they threw four to the tight ends. They threw nine to the backs. Actually, 11 if you count Michel, and I didn't even include him. They just spread the ball all over the field, as Brady said. Infinitely more difficult to defend when you have that many options. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your phone calls. And Tom Brady's assessment of the offense, because that's really, his opinion matters more than anyone else's, because if he doesn't buy in, it's not going to work. We'll tell you what Brady said about the offense when we come back.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
First and goal for the Pats from the near hash of the eight. Edelman drops in motion to the right. Brady drops back. Play fake. Sets up. Lobs the throw for Lacoste. Reaches up. Reaches yeah. down. Into the end zone. Left yes. corner. Touchdown. Patriots.
That's a big boy counter drop right there. This crowd is lit. What a drive. 8-yard touchdown.
I think, you know, like I said, a good offense, everyone has to be able to produce. And, you know, if you can get both tight ends involved and all receivers involved and all the backs involved, it's hard to defend. So, you know, we just did a good job of that today. And, you know, you got to make them defend everybody. And, you know, a lot of guys came up big. It was a big game for us. We needed it. And happy to come from behind in the fourth and win.
We've said it all year long, really. You double Edelman and then what? And in this game, Brady had other places to go. Brady was willing to go to other places. Brady succeeded in going other places. And that comment, in order for an offense to succeed, the more targets you have, the more weapons you have. They don't have to be great weapons. You just have to give the defense a lot to defend. And clearly that happened again. 9 different receivers he targeted. He completed at least one pass to all of them. All of them. They were able to run the ball. Play action was a factor. They were able to get plays when they needed them. Now, again, it felt like for as efficient as they were in this game, you'd like to think they'd get more than 24 points. They had a turnover, and they had a turnover on downs. So I just think that this is how this group is, though. They're going to have to work really hard to get what they get.
Yeah, and that was encouraging on Saturday night. I just, you know, when I've talked about sustained drives, these drives of 65-plus yards or more, and they had those, but only one for a touchdown, you know. So you settle for 3 field goals, like, it felt like they left some on the table.
So I'll tell you what, though, Murray, with this team, again, I take the field goals. Like, you know, they're built with a defense that's better than their offense. In this game, it was probably the opposite.
Well, right, considering how it's looked the last couple of months. Fine. That's fine. I just, you know, I don't know if that's enough. If 24 is enough, I don't know, against Baltimore, Kansas City.
It's going to be tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to be tight. I mean, what did Kansas City get when they played here? 23? I think it was 23-16. Does that sound right? Something like that. So, you know, those will be tight games. I mean, the gap between the Patriots and the other teams is not there like it's been in other years. If there is a gap, it's the other direction, at least with Baltimore. So they're going to have to be close to perfect. They're going to have to use everybody and have to figure it out. I just, you know, given the what they've accomplished and the trust we have in their coaching staff, it felt to me like it took longer than it should have. This what happened on Saturday night was not brain surgery. 2 backs in the backfield. You incorporate the tight ends. You put a fullback and an extra blocker in there in front of Michelle when he's in the game. And you rely on Brady to be accurate and damn near perfect. And he was. Again, I found Belichick's comments about Brady, you know, Tom was good today. Or he had a good day today. We'll get to that comment again a little bit later. But that comment that, you know, to me suggested that even Bill knows or even Bill believes Tom's got a Tom wasn't playing at the level he's supposed to play at either. Earl's in Israel, of all places. Earl, what do you got?
Hey, boys. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
Likewise.
Shalom.
Thank you. I just want to give a shout-out to Felge, who's for sure sitting on his couch during his staycation because he's a chronic listener. I just want to talk about the Bills' defense. You know, people seem to be really underestimating it. Like, I think they were, you know, by metrics, like the third-best defense. And, you know, if you look at their schedule, only one team, the Eagles, has gotten, above 30 points. And another thing people overlook is when you have a good defense on a team that's got a bad offense, it's really much more impressive because the bad offense, you know, is going off the field all the time. And the defense really has to step up and have more, you know, more clock time. So I think it was just a great overall performance by the offense against a really, really good defense, especially that 98-yard drive. What do you guys think?
Okay, Murray?
Yeah, for sure. I was saying the Bills' defense was better than the Patriots, and it really what changed my mind about how the Bills' defense and putting it over the Patriots was the job that they did in a loss to Baltimore. I mean, they really kept Lamar Jackson in check and did a better job than the Patriots' defense did. Still lost like the Pats did, but I just thought it was a better overall performance. So, no, that's a big boy win for the Patriots, and I can understand why people look at that game and say, see, they're doing it all over again, just like they did last year. They flipped a switch. They found a way. And the numbers that Brady put up in terms of the completion percentage, Hooks brought it up a couple of times already. Like, it's the best since week 11 of 2017.
So, 2 years.
Yeah.
Two-plus years.
So, look, maybe they did. Maybe they did. I still need to see more.
Yeah, no question. I feel the same way, Murray.
But that's a legit win. I'm not – this isn't – these aren't the Bills of the past.
No, no, real win.
That's a real win.
Yeah, real win. The question is, can they repeat it? Right? That's the question, which you knew we were going to ask. Because anybody can have one great game. The question is, can they do it again? And you know what? I'll even take it against Miami. Just show me that the offense looks the same. The offense hasn't looked like that since probably Pittsburgh. Really, the Pittsburgh game was a good offensive game for them. But I haven't seen them be able to run and pass with efficiency in the same game really probably since week one. Is it fire in Rosendale?
Yes.
What do you got?
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, so I have a ironclad thesis that you're overemphasizing the importance of Brady to this team. And support, I submit the following facts. Brady can only perform one-third of the major skill sets of a quarterback. Therefore, they're operating with a two-thirds deficit in skill sets for the quarterback position. Secondly, when you do natural experimentation over the last 20 years...
Yeah, I'm going to let you go, Fire. I'm not into those kinds of analytics. You'd be talking over my head. I'm stupid.
Paul's I liked his presentation, though.
Paul, you know, seemed like a perfectly nice guy, just too smart
for
that.
Hey, am I on?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? There was a caller a while back. I've been on the phone probably for an hour. Happy holidays, but I just want to say, I don't think this guy was far off saying that they don't want to show their cards. I think we won the Chiefs game. I really do.
I checked the score. You didn't win the Chiefs game.
I know we lost. We know we lost, but I thought we were robbed. But anyways.
Because of the officials.
No big deal. But I want to move on. I said after that, I called, we're connecting. We're starting to connect. And like you said, I'm not 100% sure that we're there yet. But I know Bill doesn't like to show all his cards.
Okay, so Paul, wait a minute, Paul, which one is it then? Is it that they're just starting to connect now, or is it that they haven't shown their cards?
No.
Well, which one is it? You got to pick one.
I'm going to tell you what I think.
Well, quickly.
I think the Patriots have a very good team, and people forget their record that they've had all season. And
yeah, I'm going to let you go, too. Okay, again. It's one or the other. Either they are just starting to click, which is what I believe, that it is starting to click. I thought the game plan was better. I thought the play calling was excellent for the most part. I hated the fourth down play when they ran the reverse to a N'Keal Harry and got blown up on it. I thought that was stupid, given how little yardage they needed to get the first down. But other than that, I thought McDaniels did a terrific job. And I thought the chemistry and the communication between Brady and the receivers was good.
I feel like that guy's, it's a desperation to hang on to this notion that the Patriots are somehow better than they are. Like, they are a very good team. They're an elite in the AFC. They may not be better than Kansas City, and they may not be better than Baltimore. It remains to be seen. It's not that they're secretly better than all of them. They just haven't shown all their cards yet. And I think that's what callers like that are looking for, that really, they're better than Baltimore. Come on, they have to be better than Baltimore. They're better than Kansas City. They just haven't shown it yet because, you know, they don't want to put it all out there.
Yeah, they lost to Baltimore, Houston, and Kansas City on purpose, Murray. Yeah. Didn't you know that?
And now they have to treat Week 17 like a playoff game to get the bye, and they have to play Brady and Edelman, who desperately need a lot
of rest. To be fair, though, even if they didn't, you know they would play them. It's not like this is a team that rests its players. So they could be sitting at 15-0 or 14-1, and they would still be playing those guys.
Now, yeah, Murray, I think Bill actually wanted to play Week 17 because he doesn't want too much time.
He doesn't want to lose momentum.
But if he or other people think that there's more tricks in McDaniel's bag of offensive plays, yeah, absolutely. You know that there's like a double pass coming with Mohamed Sanu because – he could throw the ball. And you mentioned Landon Roberts. You know
he's coming.
You know a pass or two is coming his way, in the red zone. So, yeah, is there more, trickery coming? Absolutely. Yeah,
Can Roberts actually throw a pass? Because I'm waiting for that.
That might happen,
or for that
too.
Matter, Mohamed Sanu, obviously. I'm waiting for that guy to throw some more passes.
Yeah, no, Murray. I think they've been playing possum. I think you're stupid. That's what I think. Paul's in Connecticut. Paul, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Merry Christmas to both of you. I just wanted to quickly say, in Brady's press conferences in the past week, he actually, stated, hey, this is what we play for. And I really think that came into play. You know, once he said that, it seemed more confident to me that he's going to actually come out of his shell and actually throw the ball. And he really did. He came out of his shell. I think the Patriots are just made for this time of year. And hey, I'm with Murray on, one game doesn't change anything, but hey, if they're going to make a run, it's going to be something like this.
So, Paul, here's the one part that I agree with you on, and I don't know whether these guys share the sentiment or not. Early in the year, when Brady seemed to be getting frustrated, or Brady was getting frustrated, and Brady started throwing his helmet, the one thing I said was, when it got time to the important games, Brady would be focused. Okay, Brady, I didn't think Brady was still going to be throwing a pity party when they got into the postseason. As it turned out, the postseason arrived in Week 16. So I didn't think Brady was still going to be sulking over the fact that he had to hand the ball off or that they had to get creative and he had to throw backside screens or whatever else. So that part I think is true. But I think the more important thing, again, to me, Murray, and again, I think that Brady's attitude rubs off on some of the other guys in this offense.
Yeah, maybe it allows someone like Jacoby Myers, who's terrified of, dropping a pass, to be a little bit more loose. Yeah, but I'm... it's not like I'm against the tough love. I mean, you could also make a case that him being an a-hole has actually helped N'Keal Harry be better these last couple of weeks as well. Or him expecting the best out of N'Keal Harry has had him play better in the offense the last couple of weeks. I just think the good thing about Saturday night in his play is this. It did seem like he reached this level of acceptance of it just can't be Edelman and White, Edelman and White, Edelman and White. I gotta throw these other guys, even if I don't trust them.
Yeah, I mean, he bought in. He said, if it's going to work, this is going to be how it has to work. You know, it shouldn't have taken this long. It should have happened earlier. But whatever. If it's real, as long as it happens, we'll find out whether or not the offense is good enough. I think if they play like Saturday night, like they did on Saturday night, I think they can beat the Chiefs in Foxborough, and I think they can give Baltimore a run. Okay, now again, I don't know what that means. I got to see how they defend Lamar Jackson. The game in Baltimore scares me always. I just think it's a tough place to play. And the Ravens are feeling it. So they're going to have their hands full down there if it gets that far. But if they play like they did Saturday night, I think they have a chance to go to another Super Bowl. Marshall's get your headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
It's a second down and 13 from the Bills 47.
Let's get a pick.
On back under center with three receivers right. Knocks the tight end, motions tighter to the formation. One split left. Here Allen comes. With a play fake. A bootleg right. He's pressured. He throws down the middle for Brown, who's open and makes the catch at the 20 in stride. Peeling away to the end zone. Touchdown Buffalo as the Bills take the lead.
I'm in disbelief here. Disbelief. This guy, of all the people. He just chucks it, and credit him, he runs right through coverage because it's off a deep play fake, sets his feet, and just chucks it. He bells. He just jumps out of the way. You're letting this kid throw touchdowns on you. That's the saddest part of it. Horrendous. Horrendous.
All a matter of perspective. I'm with Zill, though. I thought the defense sucked is too strong. I take
they have
back.
A propensity for big plays like that, to giving up big plays like
I tend
that.
To hyperbolize, Murray. What can I tell you? Like, it's just me expressing myself. But I do look at it and say, the defense kind of let you down in this game. This game should not have been a one-score game at the end.
It shouldn't have been tied at halftime.
I mean, they were down 17-13 halfway through the third quarter, the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
You know, and they had turned the ball over once. They had turned the ball over on downs, but the offense was playing its game of the year, at least as far as the offense is concerned. I mean, hard to expect much more from that. And then the defense undermines what they're doing with big plays. See, their defense should be good enough for them to score 24 points, control field position. Again, I told you, there was one possession where the Patriots dug themselves out. They were buried at their 14-yard line, and I thought, they got to get some yards here. Otherwise, Buffalo gets good field position. They give another 3 points. And they did. They dug themselves out, and they were able to punt and put Buffalo all the way back deep in their zone. Perfect. With their defense, that's what they're going to have to do now. So, I like seeing that kind of stuff. Then the defense gives up a touchdown in however 40 seconds at the end of the half, and then a 53-yard touchdown pass in which Devin McCourty looked worse than he has looked on any play in his Patriot career, in my estimation, as a safety. Corner was a different issue. It almost undermined everything you did.
Yeah.
I mean, just massive, massive mistakes.
Yeah, and that's why when I look at, and granted, this is a win and a hell of a win for them, but, you know, when you face the iron in this conference, Baltimore, Houston, Bills, Kansas City, like in each of those games, there's been at least one of these type of plays or like a trick play, like the touchdown before the half to the fat lineman, which was hysterical, but still, like, they have the propensity to give up these kind of plays. And for all the talk of this being one of the great defenses of at least the last decade, 20 years or so, you got to clean that up.
I mean, and that play, the one you're talking about, they showed the replay. The official told the Patriots that the two tackles were eligible. Dietrich Wise was standing right there. and then lets a guy run right by him and go into the end zone. I mean, it was like, tell me that wasn't as frustrating as can be when they played the kind of half they did, and you're sort of looking at it going, how is it 10-10?
It's another one of those moments where I'm like, why is Dietrich Wise on the field?
Kyle, and Belichick is screaming at the official. It's like, well, right. No, I think right. You need to scream at your own guy.
So he wouldn't expand on that. My guess is he thought that the Bills didn't properly declare on that play. Or I'd like to find out more about it. I haven't seen anything on it, whether you guys have. I'd like to find out. That's my guess as to what he was pissed off about. Nonetheless, the Patriots butchered it. They butchered it. They turn the ball over on fourth down, and 40 seconds later give up a touchdown. Like, it's the last thing you expected to see from a Belichick team. He was asked about it on his teleconference yesterday and get defensive about it. And so, you know, to me, the whole thing was a complete clown show at the end of the half.
It's one of those things you expect to see from a team that isn't prepared, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you're not ready for the ball to suddenly be, you know, coming the other way. You thought the half was over. But the hallmark of Belichick teams, right, is that they're supposed to be prepared for this sort of stuff. They're supposed to have thought of every little thing and every possibility and everything that could happen and be more prepared than anybody, and it just didn't look like it there.
I mean, I want to continue this discussion on that particular sequence, and I want to get to something Kyle Van Noy said as well. But first, Cam and Taunton. Cam, what do you got?
How's it going, guys? Edelman, look, in this game coming up Sunday, limit his pitches, as Ted Johnson was saying at the end of the last show. I mean, if this guy goes down, then you are done. You are screwed if you lose him. You know, must-have third downs early in the game trying to get a lead, fine. You should be able to beat this Miami team without him. Limit his pitches. If you get up by more than 10 points, keep him off the field. Don't risk losing him for a game you should be able to win without him.
Cam, what'd you think of Edelman in this game?
I thought he was money when they needed him. Of course, came back out of the injury, and then he made that big play, the first play back. He was typical Edelman. He was money when they needed him.
Okay, so again, I agree. Money when they needed him, except you said when he came back from the injury. What injury?
Right, the fake injury, where he should have actually faked an arm or leg injury instead of having a concussion spotter say, oh, no, he got banged up on that. He's down to the ground. We got to take him into the back.
What the hell's he doing?
In the locker room.
He's laying on the turf. He gets himself pulled out of the game for 15 minutes. What the hell's he doing? Like, there was no injury. Now, you want to say you don't think he's moving right or something, then fine. You know, obviously, he's got a leg issue. So, fine. That I get. That's not why he left the game. He didn't leave the game because of that. I mean, that was just, that's one of the dumbest things I've seen a Patriot player do. You know, fake an injury. You don't fake a concussion.
Right.
Holy crap. Like, wow, what a mistake.
And that was a learning experience for me, because I was always under the impression that once you get brought back into the locker room, like with the concussion spot,
it's over.
That's it. No, so he passed the test. He was able to come back out, obviously. But at the time, like when he came back out, I was like, huh? How?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, how often does somebody get taken into concussion protocol when absolutely nothing happened to them, right? Typically, they actually took a shot to the head of some form or another. So his faking it, it's almost like they're like, oh, okay, you want to play this game? Fine. You faked a head injury? Let's head into protocol there, buddy.
Now, look, I suppose there's a possibility that he actually had a concussion and that he lied about it after the game. But watch the replay. He lays there and then pops right up.
And when does he pop right up? As soon as he sees, I mean, the flag couldn't have fallen more right in front of his face. He's lying right there looking off to the side, and there's a flag like 3 inches from his face, and that's when he pops up. He's like, all right, well, that didn't work.
All right, I want to get to this comment by Kyle Van Noy. Friend of the station, if not necessarily the program. We'll do that when we come back.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady's going to duck under center, fourth and inches. James White behind Brady. Harry started in motion from the right. Brady halts him in his tracks. Now Harry sprints in motion. He's going to take the jet sweep handoff left, and he's upended. Stopped short. Good play by the Bills cornerback coming up to read it all the way. Kevin Johnson, the former Houston Texan, darting forward and upending Harry. So the Patriots did snap it. They ran the speed sweep. And Mohamed Sanu was unable to apply the block on Kevin Johnson, who made the tackle on Harry, who somersaults to the turf.
Terrible job by Sanu. Terrible job. You make that block, there's nobody back home. If he gets around that corner.
I think Sanu might have been so eager to get to the next Buffalo player upfield that he failed to block Johnson. Now the Bills have 33 seconds to go. Buffalo goes empty, down 10-3.
Huge sequence at the end of the half. Huge. Patriots get stopped on fourth down. Bills get the ball back. They end up completing a long pass down to the half-yard line. Run a play with two tackles eligible, not one. Two. Get a touchdown. Game's tied 10-10 at half. After what looked like a pretty darn good half for the Patriots. So, Murray, I have a series of questions for you. Okay, they all relate to that play.
Okay.
Number one, how'd you feel about Mohamed Sanu's game?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I should have thought of it earlier. We should actually get Zoe's meltdown that he had on this punt return that he had. You remember in the game where he waves everyone away from the punt and then grabs it after one bounce. I mean, that's something you would see from Cyrus Jones. Like, he's just not made for that position. He's not a punt returner.
I know, it made me nervous.
Once before he joined the Patriots. He's a liability back there. But overall, no, his game was terrible.
Okay, second question. Overall, how did you feel about Josh Daniels and the play calling on offense?
Josh McDaniels, I mean.
Yeah, what did I say?
Josh Daniels.
Did I?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, Josh McDaniels.
Overall, his overall night? No, I thought it was maybe his best overall play calling of the season.
Okay. Three. How'd you feel about that fourth down play call?
Hated the particular play call, but I didn't mind them going for it there. And even them not picking it up, I wasn't that afraid of because I don't trust Josh Allen.
Okay. But the play call itself you hated.
I did, yeah, I hated that. On that, and you know, they went for it later with a QB sneak. It was fourth and, you know, a handful of inches. Like, go with that money play. I know you have a 42-year-old quarterback, but again, you went with a QB sneak and picked it up later in the game. That one was too cute. That was the one play call of the night that it was like, oh, of course, every once in a, like, just at least once a game, McDaniels is going to pull something out of his bag of tricks that's just like, what are you doing?
So I'd have punted there. I would have. And again, I thought they were kind of feeling it a little. And meaning feeling their oats and thinking, no, our offense is rolling. We're in good shape. We can get this. When they went for the fourth down earlier, they barely got it. I mean, again, they got a favorable spot there. Some of those replays, and you couldn't see the ball when Michelle ran into the pile. So McDermott never ended up challenging it, if you remember. You know, they showed that that camera angle where he reached into his pocket to grab the red challenge flag.
And he should have.
Yeah, and then didn't pull. Now, I don't know if he would have won it or not. I think those spot challenges are hard to reverse. But, you know, it was that whole sequence. Holy crap. You play that way for a half and you come out of there 10-10. And then, as it turns out, halfway through the third quarter, they hit another long pass play and you're down 17-13. That was enough to make you want to lose your mind. And that doesn't take much for me to begin with. Raul's in Haverhill. Go ahead, Raul.
I was actually impressed by the time of possession, which actually goes hand-in-hand, obviously, with the run game. Listen, I'm actually the opposite of some of the callers that have been calling. I feel like the reason why the Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs last year was because they were realistic. They understood that the Chiefs had the superior offense, so therefore controlling the clock was the reason why they won. I think that they'll have to do this again in the playoffs in order to win, because they're not going to be able to win the sling-to-sling matches against those teams that beat you this season. So, therefore, it also gives less time for the defense to be on the field, therefore being fresher. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so look, Raul, everybody wants to talk about that running game, Mario. Do you think that it was all about the running game?
No, but it helped, and I certainly take it a lot more seriously than I did after the performance I had against Cincinnati. Like, people were crowing about it, like, oh, they found the running game, and stick with Burkhead. Like, it's like the Bengals. How seriously can I take that? After this game against that defense, all right, maybe they found something there.
So I don't think they have the same kind of power running game they did a year ago.
No, not with that offensive line, but that's encouraging.
Absolutely, but I do think this team is going to need to run the ball at least some, or try to run the ball, so that they can have play action and other things that will lead to an easier passing game. I think because they're just not prolific enough to be able to do it without it. Like, I think they need every element that they can get. Just quickly, before I get back to the calls, I told you that sequence at the end of the half, only half of it is not getting the first down. The other half of it is giving up the big plays that led to a touchdown. Okay, so, and I saw this comment by Kyle Van Noy, after the game. I don't know if we had audio. I didn't even ask Billy because I asked him to grab a million things today. I didn't want to bust his balls. Okay? So I'm being honest. So as it relates to the defense, here's what Kyle Van Noy said. Quote, I think at the end of the day, if we just minimize our mistakes and do what we need to do, it's going to be tough for them to drive the length of the field on us. I think we proved that tonight. Okay, so I read that as him sort of puffing out his chest like they never drove the ball on us tonight. But I sort of look at it and say they didn't have to because you gave up big pass plays. I mean, again, Josh Allen had 13 completions in this game. Okay, 13 completions. He passed for 208 yards. So do the math there. Marshall, maybe you can. How many yards is that per completion?
I'm sorry.
What I mean, it's 10. It's almost, it's 8 yards an attempt.
What were those two, numbers
208 divided by 13.
Yeah. That's 16.
Okay, you're giving up 16 yards every time the guy completes a pass? 16 yards? And he was only 50%, but he didn't have to be because he was hitting on all the big ones. So I think the defense let him down in this game. I think the defense almost undermined them.
I just think it speaks to how I feel about the defense and that they're overrated. But I get it. You know, he's got to defend them because he's got T-shirts and sweatshirts to sell that say boogeymen on it. But so, you know, I get it.
And as we like to say, Murray, overrated does not mean they suck.
Right.
Overrated means that they're not historically good. And man,
like a lot of the nerds, especially earlier in the year, like the PFF set, the Pro Football Focus, like, you know, they want to compare it to like the 85 Bears and the, you know, the Legion of Boom type defense that the Seahawks had there for a few years, 6-7 years ago. Like, it's, they're good. They're good. They're not great. They're overrated.
So
you can't
again,
compare them to those kind of defenses, please.
Now, look, the encouraging part was to play the offense. If they can continue that and prove that there is an actual progression taking place here, then I think we all feel differently about this team in the postseason and what they might be able to accomplish in January. The quarterback is at the middle of it all, as always. I mean, who else would be other than the coach? Marshall Hook has your headlines. No commercials, longest commercial-free segment. And then we'll be back about back to talk about Tom Brady's night and, more importantly, what he said after the game. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.